Welcome to the Multiply Your Success podcast, where each week we help growth-minded entrepreneurs and franchise leaders take the next step in their expansion journey. I'm your host, Tom Dufour, CEO of Big Sky Franchise Team. And as we open today, I'm wondering how you are training and developing your new staff or franchisees as they come into your organization. And do you have a plan or a system as you onboard these new team members? Well, in today's episode, we interview Janine Capozzi, who shares with us how the power of one can change everything for your new hire and new onboarding experience. Now, Janine is an L&D consulting pro, co-active coach, and Knowledge Force consulting owner. With more than 15 years of learning and development strategy, she revolutionizes training for personal and business empowerment. She's a hands-on leader and excels in adult learning, change management, curriculum design, and instructional innovation. You're going to love my interview with Janine, so let's go ahead and jump right into it.
Hi, I'm Janine Capozzi, and my company is Knowledge Force Consulting. And within that, I'm the owner, founder, president, all those fancy titles. But I really just like to go with learning and talent development partner.
I'm glad you gave that summary with learning and talent development partner, because what really stood out to me coming in to prepare for our interview is this concept of adult learning, teaching adults how to do whatever skill or trade or whatever your business is doing, bringing these employees into your organization and onboarding them well and training. And it's top of mind for me because we have several new staff on our team. And so this is a little bit of maybe some free consulting I'm going to pull out of this interview as part of this. That was not the intent, by the way, but it's very fresh for our organization if we've brought in some new team members. Fortunately, we've had a long track record of people sticking around for a long time, and we've been growing. So we're adding some new staff. And so I'd love for you to just talk in general about talent development, adult learning. Just what does this all mean, especially if you're a growing business, a small business? Just give us an overview, a lay of the land from your vantage point, what you're seeing out there.
So congratulations on growing, by the way. It's a good problem to have.
Thank you.
And I view training and development in two lenses from what you're describing right there, Tom. The first piece of what you described is onboarding. How do we bring somebody into the company, get them immediately up to speed? What kind of conversations and pieces do they bring to the table? That's a really important one aspect and lens to look through when it comes to training and development, talent development. The other lens is we've been here for a while, or we know you, and how do we continue to maximize growth together, personal and for the business? And so really what I do is coming in as a consultant is to help people bring these pieces together. First of, how do we set a learning and development strategy for the business so that we can identify who we want to go after is that targeted talent. What skill and development do we need short-term, mid-term, long-term in order to build that out to achieve business direction? So first thing when it comes to adult learning is that adults need to understand differently how the thing they're learning connects to the big picture. And so when I think about strategy, that strategic business plan, right? We're going to do that for business to grow, for example. But we need a sub-strategy around talent development within the business. And so we do that so we can understand and help adults understand for themselves why those skills matter, how that fits into the environment of the business that they're in, how that helps them achieve business goals for the business, but for themselves together. So that's kind of the first leg of what you asked.
I'm in the franchise space, so we talk often about new franchisees, basically their first year in the system, and then post that first year. And it sounds like there's a similar connection here. This onboarding is that initial maybe few weeks, few months on to their figuring out what they're doing, how they're doing it. And then post, how are they developing as a professional within your organization? So I know this is a big question to ask, but are there some common best practices that you find or that you see for each of those phases, the onboarding and then that post for growth and development?
So when it comes into the onboarding, I'll start there since that's the first phase of the journey, right? So if I'm bringing some people onboarded, a couple pieces that owners and managers tend to miss is at the very beginning, it's critical to establish a first 3 to 6 months expectation setting and some bumper guards for what success looks like for that individual. So what often happens when someone's onboarded, they have no idea if they're above the line or below the line on where you expect them to be. And so setting that early, let somebody know that they're tracking in a direction and how you've got to adapt to that. So that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is having regular conversations, checking in, how are you? We tend to do this in a really interesting way though, and I kind of make this funny. We put the burden on the new employee and we say this great question that we think is very supportive. We say to them, if you have any question, I'm just right there. Just let me know. Just ask me anything. Right? And we do this whole thing of like open door. And I laugh and I say, they don't even know what to ask you. And you're asking them in their most vulnerable of moments to show they don't know something. They have no idea whether or not they're above the line or below the line on the expectation. I'm putting all the burden and vulnerability on the new person instead of being the one who takes the vulnerability on for that new person. And so when I take it on instead as a new leader onboarding, it looks a little bit more like, if I were in your position, I might have questions about. If you do, reach out to me. Or if I was in your position and brand new, I'll know if I'm making progress because this task would take me maybe 30 minutes to do. Eventually, it'll take you 10. So if you get to the 30-minute window where you can't figure it out, don't keep struggling. Come talk to me, right? I've controlled that in a way where I've taken on the vulnerability of what it would be like, and it builds connection for the individual. So that's kind of the way that I look at that from the onboarding side of it. When I'm looking at it from the connection side of expectations, from someone who's been there a long time, I talk about our shelf life. We just want to extend the shelf life. Everything expires. The relationship will expire. They may move on to something new, but in the end, it's the idea of how can we get the most out of it for everybody while we're still in that relationship and build that together.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, it's some great suggestions and ideas. And one of the things that you mentioned is you have a program or a framework. It's called Power of One or the Power of One framework.
Yeah.
And it seems like that might help fit into some of what we're discussing here. So what is that and why does it matter?
So the Power of One framework is a way that I like to think about engaging in almost anything. And so I always say the Power of One framework is the power to change everything. And it could be really tiny or it could be really big, but this is how it works. We have one conversation. Out of that one conversation, we're looking for an idea. Out of that one idea, we're looking for an action. And I can work with an individual on that and say, hey, how are things going in your new role? What's one thing that was successful today? What's one new connection that you made with the job from something you learned before to what we're doing here at Big Sky, right? And what is one thing you want to try tomorrow with that? Now I'm having this like kind of coach conversation that's very individual. Way you can scale that whole framework up to change everything is let's sit in a meeting and we are going to brainstorm on how we are going to change this entire process. Let's have a conversation about what's working and what's not. What do we need to change? That's my conversation. From this, what is one idea? What's the one action we're going to take? And it's just this way to keep the conversation going. And it really just comes from a history. My mom used to say to me as a little kid, Janine, never underestimate the power of one. It's the only number that changed the world. And it's the idea of one on one on one, building of habits, all those things that are out there in the space today, but the small incremental change lands me in a very new direction.
Do you have any instances or examples you might be able to share where you've helped implement a program like this with a client or seen it in your own life?
Yeah. So it's really funny that you talk about that because it is the incremental changes. So just this week, I was working with someone who is a new manager. And one of the things I do in my business as well is coaching and development. So this was through, we were using the Power of One framework in a coaching setting about him. He now is a leader of leaders, right? So his job is to help other people unlock the potential of their direct reports. So the conversation that we were having really sounded like this idea of I've given them direction of what to do. but they're not taking it and running with it. What do I do now? And so we sat back and said, all right, what's the conversation you really want to be having with this particular individual? He and I practiced that. And it was like, all right, what's the one new idea that you're having that might connect and resonate with him? And what's the thing you want to do with that? So we went through in a private conversation. It only maybe took us about 4 to 5 minutes to have that. And he came back this week and said, it worked. And I just love that. Like, it worked. It's like that whole thing. And part of it was really a twofold thing. One of it was he realized that he had some expectations that weren't being communicated. There was a way he thought he should be doing it and that it should be done, which is always a trigger word for misaligned expectations. And the individual took action, was really proud of themselves on the thing that they did. So these are just like the small moments, but you learn and grow from that. And we were talking about how adults learn differently. And that is how adults learn differently. They have to really see the compounding effects of the thing that they're doing. And it's almost like the proof is in the pudding. And so doing this in small ways builds trust and credibility and change. And when we start to see that it works is when adults actually latch on. Where kids don't mind failing, they fall down, they bounce back. It's part of the process. They don't even really think about it. An adult falls down and they think like the world is ending. And so that's a really nuanced difference between teaching kids who everything is new and everything's a failure and everything's a success versus adults who feel like they have something to lose.
Well, that's a great point. And there's this concept of return on talent investment. And it looks like I would say ROTI, or I'm not sure how you would pronounce that. ROTI, the return
on talent. That's the way I say it.
ROTI, return on talent investment. I'm just wondering, how do you establish these kinds of objectives? And I'm thinking of some of the business leaders that I've worked with. A lot of times, some of these training and development things are challenging to implement because they don't quite know how to assess. Are these things working? Are they successful or not? So how do you assess that?
Yeah, that's great. And that really is the truth. So many training programs, one of the things I hear over and over again is, Gene, we send people to training and it's not working. There's a lot of reasons why it's not working occurs. And it doesn't usually boil down to a variable. People are complicated. But part of it is that we don't set in advance those return on talent investment metrics that we want to look for. And I help people establish them in four varying categories based upon the strategy of the business and where the business is trying to go. So we want to look at your long-term vision of where's the business headed? And from there, we back into what are some our traditional return on investment metrics. Are there some financials? Maybe an onboarding program, for example, is do we reduce onboarding? Maybe it takes the average person 30 days to learn the job. Can we get them to 21? And what does that look like on the financials to be at complete productivity 7 days sooner than we have in the past? Is that a metric we want to use? Is that meaningful? As an example, we also look at process improvement. What can we look at to say, is there a better process that will come out of this training? Will we generate new ideas? Will we create an efficiency? What are the pieces that the training will do? And can we measure improvement around process? Maybe there's some specific components there that we look at. Then we can look at the more qualitative type of aspects, employee engagement, the happiness factor. Would you refer people to this business? People-oriented return on investments. And then the last piece is the execution against strategy. What is the big picture? So it's really sitting down and looking at the return on that talent investment from a holistic perspective. Oftentimes, the reason why it's so challenging to measure the benchmark is because we're measuring it against one item. And that one item, we either don't have a baseline for, so we can't see that we're changing, or we're using a metric that doesn't actually match to the skill or the change that we have. And then the final piece that I always challenge people on and say, sometimes we don't get to the metric because we have existing systems in place that actively push against it.
I'm thinking to my own organization and others I've worked for and seen in clients we work with, where essentially you're getting in your own way, right? You're your own worst enemy in this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Or I'll see people want to send people to training and they expect this massive behavior change. We don't need massive behavior change. I need one, because one is the ripple effect. Again, the power of one to trickle into another conversation that launches another idea that leads to another action. And it goes in that direction. That's one piece of it. And the second piece is I will actively see, for example, I do a lot of sales implementation. Like we design a custom sales method for companies to use. So we'll think about rolling out some sort of sales training. But then all the incentives are still stuck in the old systems and processes, and that they don't marry up against the new thing that you want them to be doing. So we don't change the system metrics to reinforce that. Or we tell somebody we want them to take ownership and we teach them ownership skills about how to go about doing that. And then we micromanage the heck out of them and we don't let them have ownership. Well, then why did we go through the training in the first place? You didn't want to have the systems to support it. So one of my tagline for Knowledge Force is training reimagined. And it's not really that we have to do everything different about training. And so we just have to think about some of the reimagined moments. Can I engage differently? Can we converse differently? Do we put a system and support in that we don't have existing? Are we incentivizing human behavior? And we go back to the idea that human beings, especially in a training environment, a personal development environment, we are actively always seeking to connect and protect, to connect and protect. So we want to protect ourselves, but we desire to connect with others. And how can I close the gap between those two things in a way that made someone feel safe? When they feel safer, they can learn and they can try new things. And that's really the behavior change that we're hoping to get out of people.
You've mentioned some great practical applications. If I'm listening into this and I'd be thinking, okay, well, Janine, this sounds amazing. I really like what you're talking about, but I'm a small growing business. I'm a franchisee or I'm a franchisor. Our audience oftentimes, and they're trying to train their franchisees, which are small businesses or other leaders that are tuning in that say, great, but I'm so busy. I don't know how to do this. I have a limited budget, limited time, limited resources. How can I create something and kind of professionalize my training and onboarding schedule? What would you say to someone who might say that?
Yeah. So I would say a couple things. It doesn't have to be perfect in order to get started. We often avoid getting started, or what I say, we will explain away our inaction with, I can't do it all. Don't worry about that. Do something. Get started. Ideate. If the only thing you can do is have a 5-minute conversation that is a conversation idea with one outcome and action, you're getting started, right? Don't let it be that it needs to be perfect. Just get started and learn and grow. Have your new hires, this is an onboarding tip and trick that I give people. Have your new hires develop the training. I know that sounds crazy. But what I often will have them do, for example, is you're a franchisee and you want to be able to build out a video library long-term about how to do a thing. Well, then get your new hires to build the video, submit it to you for critique and evaluation and comments. You get to see where they are working, how they're learning, what's working. You get to course correct them if there's some mistakes. They redo the video and the asset until they get it right. You now get to see that they're learning, developing, and doing. And in the end, they created the homework assignment for you, the new tutorial video that next time you can just give somebody else. Then the next layer of people who are developing it for you, they record the picks and clicks on the software, do a little narration, save the Zoom video, and now you're off and rolling. You start to begin to collect a little bit of an asset. So that's like a really down and dirty trick that you can work with. If you want to work with someone like me, I can't forget to put the plug in for myself. They can always give me a call and we can work on it. My team, we bring in chief learning officer, like fractional officer. I work with a lot of small businesses and you can get started that way.
Well, while we're talking about that, what's your website or how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So some general business website information is at knowledgeforceconsulting.com. And there's video tutorials there. There's some downloadables, freebies, case study examples. So that's one way. And if you're super interested, the podcast people get to go to JeneCapozzi.com. And if they would like, they can sign up with for a free 15-minute introductory conversation. We'll do a power of one conversation together where we share something, come up with an idea, think about an action. And if you want to take it further, then that's an opportunity for us to do that there.
Janine, one of the things that you mentioned I found interesting with that example you gave of that learning management and having the employee record that, it also seemed to me that that could double as well as some kind of a reward or an award to say, by the way, once you master this or show you've mastered this skill or whatever you're developing, we're going to feature this. The next person who comes in, they're going to learn from you on how to do this.
Exactly. Exactly. That could be reward based. I've seen them done. I'm jumping to a business owner that I know of a pizza shop, and they turned it into Instagram competition. And so they had their new people developing out the way they wanted something to look in the environment. And part of their job was to grab their phones, take some pictures, do a couple reels, be fun with it. And then they turned it into a new hire competition for whose stuff turned into the viral media thing. You get to post your reel. We're posting this person's Instagram. So it was multiple layered in the sense that we've got learning, we've got some fun engagement, and we're using it from our social media side of things. And as a small business owner, the more I can like check lots of boxes with the one thing that I am doing, the happier I am.
What a great story. I love that example. That's really great. Well, yeah. Janine, this is a great time in the show where we make a transition and we ask every guest the same four questions before they go. And so the first question we ask is, have you had a miss or two in your career and something you learned from it?
So I'm going to try to keep it short, but I do have a miss. About 2016, I was in a program and I brought them this idea that I referred to as Bolt. That was my branded name for it. Building operational leadership talent. And it was to manufacturing business owners about how I wanted to launch a leadership program very specifically oriented towards manufacturing and advanced manufacturing. And they crushed my dream and told me that absolutely nobody would pay for that. It was ridiculous. You know, manufacturing runs lean and mean. They're not going to spend money on this kind of program at that kind of dollar point. 5 years later, do you know the number one thing I get asked for these days is leadership training in manufacturing? And so I just missed the market on it at the time. It's happening, but just not, I would be so much further on that curve right now. I think,
it's that age-old adage for any business offering, right? It's just timing is so critical. It's the right idea, the right program, just off timing-wise, just a little bit. Well, let's talk about a make or two that you've had along the way.
Yeah. So one of my favorite makes was how I know the power of these conversation matters. I had a friend, we just used to meet for coffee and talk about business. Totally different worlds. They were in a software engineering space. Here I am training and development. But we would just share, brainstorm ideas two different places. Fast forward the story, 5 years of meeting, talking, having no business connection really out of that. I am at a conference and I get paired up with this random project manager for a company who starts to talk about her struggle of implementing change, lo and behold, about my coffee mate's software. And I know all the ins and outs of this software and some of the challenges that people have with implementing it. And we start to share some ideas and conversation. And 2 weeks later, I was hired as a consultant. They became my biggest client for many years. And it was really just because I was a good active listener about something that had nothing to do with my business that I never saw it growing into. And then a chance encounter that I don't believe is really chance, but a chance encounter later. And those two connected moments led into a really great client that took the business into a different level.
Divine intervention to me is a very real thing. So I totally understand. Let's talk a little bit about a multiplier. The name of the show is Multiply Your Success. So have you used a multiplier to grow yourself personally, professionally, or businesses you've been involved with?
Yeah. So I think my biggest multiplier, as silly as it sounds, is conversation. It's even conversations like this podcast. I started my first one a few years ago, just, you know, it's fun to help out a friend who was starting to launch theirs. And I really saw the value of these types of conversations. It's been a multiplier in getting to in connection with other people. And so just out there networking and growing, but it's also been a self multiplier. It's helped me crystallize ideas. It's helped me learn to articulate them better. It's helped me puzzle through problems or challenges for clients in a new way, just with some of the conversation that was happening. So I think there's that. And then I and friends and family members in my life will tell you that they've seen a real difference in me over the last few years as I've worked with a one-on-one business coach and really have come to that place where I'm identifying my own systems, my own solutions, holding myself accountable with a little bit of a paid accountability friend out there. And so I think that those have made a big difference.
Fantastic. Well, the final question we ask every guest is, what does success mean to you?
Success means to me that knowing there is not a right path, there's just my path. And that as long as I believe in the direction I'm going, that I'm helping others, that I'm creating a bit of a legacy for myself, my family, and I'm helping others unlock the power of their own potential, to me, that's success. And if that's money, it's money. If it's fame, it's fame. If it's none of those things, it doesn't matter.
Well, Janine, as we bring this to a close, is there anything you were hoping to share or get across that you haven't had a chance to yet?
I think I would just sum it up with this idea of remember that it just takes one small thing to get started. And I know adult learning is a big piece of that. Adults learn through conversation. They learn through generating their own ideas and creating buy-in. And they learn from taking action and recalibrating. And so when I think about working as a business owner, if I want to unlock that potential, I don't need massive shift. I just need to build on those small building blocks over and over in a repeated way.
Janine, thank you so much for a fantastic interview. You provided so many great nuggets and pieces of information. You've made it hard to choose which ones I should select for the top three takeaways for today, but I'll do my best. So let's go ahead and jump into today's three key takeaways. So takeaway number one is when she talked about the return on talent investment, ROTI, and she said that it's important to get this set and establish some metrics to look at for your business as you're onboarding new staff, new franchisees. What does that look like? And she said, what is a process improvement look like, quality engagement. She said many times we're using a metric with no baseline or because we're using a metric that doesn't match the actual skill that we're training for. And she said sometimes at your organization, there very well may be processes in place that are actively pushing against a new system or process that you're trying to implement. I would also couple with that when she shared some of her best practices. So this is my sneak in additional takeaway, by the way. She said, for onboarding, she said, it's important to establish those 3 to 6 month expectation and make sure that you give them the clarity on what you're expecting, the new people that are onboarding, so that they know how to measure success. And a great phrase she used was use phrases to say something like, if I was in your position, I would ask, or if I were new here, I would want to know, fill in the blank. I thought those were some great, great takeaways. Takeaway number two is when she said and described the power of one framework. And so she said, it's the power to change anything and everything. She said, we have one conversation, we have one idea, and we look for one next step. So just one little focus at a time. And she said, never underestimate the power of one. Takeaway number three is when she said that when an adult falls down in terms of learning or onboarding or developing, oftentimes they think the world is ending because they have a lot to lose or think that they have a lot to lose. Whereas when kids learn, they're much more resilient and less impacted by worrying about what they might have to lose if they make a mistake along the way. And now it's time for today's win-win. So today's win-win is when Janine said that as people, we are actively seeking to connect and protect. That we're actively seeking to connect and protect. And I thought that this was a great nugget and summary to served as a reminder that when you're onboarding new staff, new franchisees, new people to your team, or even implementing new systems, that the people you're working with, they're actively seeking to connect with other people, and to protect themselves, to protect their job, to protect their business that they might be going through. So keep those two pieces in mind, that they want connection and protection. And so I think you couple that with the what she said right at the end of the episode. She said, remember, it just takes that one small thing to get started, and that adults learn through creating conversation, generating their own ideas and creating buy-in, and then taking action and recalibrating. By doing that, you're going to help create that connection and protection for that new person that's joining your organization, whether that's a new hire, whether that's a new process, or a new franchisee joining into your company. And so that's the episode today, folks. Please make sure you subscribe to the podcast and give us a review. And remember, if you or anyone you know might be ready to franchise your business or take your franchise company to the next level, please connect with us at BigSkyFranchiseTeam.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to having you back next week.